I'm continuing to preach the book of Judges, and what I imagine will be stuck in my memory is not just going through Judges, but also the sermons of the coronavirus days. This sermon is on God's call for you to play out your role in His plan by faith. And the lesson this morning is from Judges 4 and 5. The setting was about a century and a half after the Israelites played a role in God's plan by faith in entering and conquering the Promised Land. The Israelites are supposed to continue to play the role, their proper faith role, but by the time of the days of the Judges, the Israelites became famous for doing what was right in their own eyes, not God's eyes. Now, this is a picture of the ways of the world in bondage to sin. The unsaved world does not seek Christ, does not seek His ways. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. Well, back then, the Israelites wanted to play a role based on sin. Now, of course, bad consequences followed. God's got a good lesson for our own lives in the Spirit in Christ about all this. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Play your role in God's plan by faith. Let's pray. Lord, in these days, particularly what we're going through right now, we ask that You keep us mindful of playing our role in Your plan by faith. Use this sermon to edify us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, looking back in history with your mind's eye, there are some essential principles which flow into your calling in the grace covenant of Christ. Back then, a man named Ehud played his role in God's plan by faith. Israel had gone the way of following false gods. They were cursed with the bondage to a Moabite king, and in faith, Ehud killed that king. And then Israel defeated the Moabites. Peace resulted for 80 years. But the Israelites went the way of sin again, a role that's never in God's plan. So we're told that the Lord gave Israelites into the hand of a Canaanite king, and the Canaanites oppressed Israel for 20 years. The commander of the evil Canaanite army was Sisera. Sisera and his army were powerful. They were famous for having 900 iron chariots. Everyone considered them to be indefeatable. The Israelites were spread across the land, trying to eke out a living. They had no organized army. 5:8 says they lacked weapons. But they began to seek to play their role in God's plan by faith. They started with something basic. They turned back to God and they began hoping He'd deliver them. Well, at the time, there was an Israelite woman named Deborah. Deborah was a wife. She was also a prophetess of God. God spoke forth His word through Deborah. Deborah played her role in God's plan by faith. Israelites would come to her. They would come for prophetic judgment. One day, Deborah asked for a man named Barak to come to her for a prophetic word from the Lord. And when Barak got there, Deborah told him the Lord had a role for him to play in God's plan by faith. And she relayed God's specific command to Barak. Go to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men. And the Lord said He's going to draw out the Canaanite commander Sisera with his chariots and his troops. He's going to draw him out to the river Kishon. And God said He's going to have Israelite Barak defeat evil Canaanite Sisera. Well, the role God wanted Barak to play was straightforward. It was according to His word. But Barak decided he wanted his own way. He demanded that the prophetess Deborah also go along. Barak told Deborah that if she would go with him, he's going to go. But if she would not go with him, he will not go. But God did not tell Barak to come up with his counteroffer in his role. God's word did not say it was Barak's role to make a deal on whether he would go based on negotiating conditions with God's order. Barak was making a sinful move by offering his selfish reason to reject the attack command from the Lord and the resultant victory promise. But don't get this wrong concerning Barak's faith. The book of Hebrews stops us from thinking Barak was operating in lack of faith. It tells us Barak operated in faith. Barak finally got out to war. I mean, it took faith to do it. Barak's problem is a lesson for you, though. He was guilty of trying to press his own will into God's will to get what he wanted. This is what you need to be careful not to do. It's like thinking that you can start sinning and then claim your sinful deeds are God's will. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want you pushing your own will into His, even if you have faith. And I'm going to explain this some more. When there is a clear path God spelled out in His word, He does not want you trying to argue with Him to get something from Him before you're going to be obedient to His word. Don't tell God you're not going to do what He says just because He doesn't do what you want. Your role is simply this: obedience and reliance. It's not complicated. Barak was making it complicated. He was pushing his selfish preference to extend Deborah's called and ordained role from God into the role Barak wanted her to play. He wanted more than going forward according to God's word. Barak's role was to do God's word, follow God's word, do what he says. But by pushing his will, Barak was making up his own rules. When you push your will onto God's will, you are making up your own rules. Your safety route, our safety route, is to learn God's word and pay attention. And then with God's word, pray. Scripture says pray about everything. We'll do that. Seek biblical guidance and go forward in obedience and reliance on Him. Your role in God's plan by faith is there. Now, how do you know if you're getting off course? When you start trying to make rules to justify avoiding God's word. See, that's the route of the flesh. And going that route has consequences. And with Barak, it's not that he was faithless. It's just that he should not have said he would not go if the prophet Deborah would not go too. Barak's problem was he was being manipulative. He was being self-willed with everyone's role in God's will. So, tracking Barak and his behavior, I mentioned Hebrews 11. Well, it says at verse 32 that by faith, Barak conquered, performed righteousness, obtained God's promise, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness was made strong, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. And Hebrews 11:1 indicates that by faith, Barak gained approval. Okay, so Barak operated in his role of being God's soldier in faith. But Barak selfishly wanted Deborah's role to continue past giving the prophetic word. He wanted Deborah's role to become a traveling soldier prophet, leading the 10,000 men of his army in the actual pursuit. And Barak probably wanted someone around who would receive and repeat prophetic insights of God at each point. But God's not interested in your preferences being the deciding factor of what He's already told you to do in His Word. God said, lead your army of men into battle based on My Word. Go and do like you're told in obedience to My Word and reliance on Me. God said, you will defeat Sisera. So stick with your role. And for us in Christ, do what you know. Do what you know. And think about this. Barak's selfish demands imposed on Deborah's life. Though called to be a godly role as a prophetess, Deborah was also a married woman. You know, the marriage, her husband, her family is part of the ministry calling of every wife in her role. She had a responsibility to play out her role as a godly wife in God's plan by faith. Deborah was not a warrior. She was not a commander. None of that was her calling or role. Her gift was prophecy. She called the commander warrior to her to give him God's prophetic word, the marching orders. Now, as you play out your role in God's plan by faith, make sure you're not trying to make other people conform to what you think your will for their life is. You hear me? Don't impose your will through threats and intimidation. Don't impose your will on their life with manipulation. Don't say you're going to be biblical only if others do what you want them to do. Now, God's role He called you to is to be biblical. Seek to manifest the life of Christ Jesus. Study the apostles' revelations of life in the Spirit for you in the New Covenant. Let Him be the light that exposes your selfishness. You know, through the years, I've seen Christians applying selfishness for spiritual control of others. Often it's a spouse, but I've seen dozens of other ways too. Essentially, it's what Barak was doing with Deborah. And it can spread too. You know, threatening to not go if he did not get this way is the kind of manipulation that can be picked up and learned. Children learn it. And if a pastor does it, others in the church will learn it. For some people, it's a go-to way of acting to get their way. So I'm saying, look for it in your own self and avoid it at all costs. And so we see that Barak is the picture manipulator making threats to stay and not go. So how can Barak be called faithful in Hebrews? Well, it's because Barak is like all of us. He is faithful, but not perfect. He loves God, but he sins at his imperfection. Perfection is like, think of it like this. Perfection is like water from God. His perfection is imputed to you as a declaration. It fills you and you carry it with you in Christ. You have it with Christ in you. And so God knows you as having the perfection of Christ because of Christ's life in you by grace through faith. So when you sin, it is your own imperfection at work. And when you sin, You set up events for negative consequences. Well, Barak was faithful, but negative consequences were coming from his sinful disposition. Barak brought those consequences on himself for insisting Deborah go as a contingency for his own obedience. And this is the thing about your obedience and faith. When you start making up rules, you will experience the consequences. So what happened is that Deborah said she would go with Barak. And evidently God allowed it, which means her husband allowed it too. And so here's the thing about thinking that you're forcing God into a deal. He always comes out on top. And he always teaches you a lesson for trying it. And so Barak got his way, but God made sure that there was a price to pay for Barak's selfish, manipulative demand. And the price is the consequence. And for Barak, the consequence is that he would not gain the honoring fame concerning the military campaign he could have had. The Lord said he will turn the Canaanite commander, Sisera, over to a woman to be killed. And though Barak fought, though he would be victorious over the Canaanites, for Barak to not have been the one to kill Sisera, but a woman instead, in that day, was a shameful personal experience. To get a cultural sense of why the consequence was a big deal, five chapters ahead, in Judges 9:54, don't turn there, but five chapters ahead, we get a picture of the stigma of shame in that day of a woman killing a man in battle. A man named Abimelech attacked some people, trapped them up in a tower. There's a woman up in the tower, and she threw a millstone down, and she hit Abimelech in the head. And Abimelech's skull was crushed so badly he was dying. Still conscious, it says he quickly told his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and kill me, so that it will not be said of me, a woman slew me." So the young man killed Abimelech with his own sword. You know, a man would have rather been killed by his own armor-bearer than to have it said, even after he was dead, after he's gone, that a woman had done it. Evidently, the shame of embarrassment was overwhelming for a woman to be the one to kill the enemy, either to the enemy being killed or for a woman to kill the enemy instead of men. And so with Barak, God allowed Deborah, the prophetess, to go with him, but there was also that consequence that a woman now would be the one to kill Sisera instead of Barak. 10,000 men also went, and 5:2 says they volunteered to go. They willingly went. There were men from various Israelite regions. They were all going to play out their roles in God's plan, roles they trusted were theirs by faith. Two groups, Zebulun and Naphtali, were notably outstanding in battle. They played their role in God's plan by faith by risking their lives for God without payback. But not everybody went. We're told that various parts of the Israelite tribes refused to go, fulfilled their role in defeating Canaan. 5:16-17, we see that the people of Reuben, they thought about it, but they stayed among the sheep herds. Gilead did not cross the Jordan to join the battle. Dan remained in the ships. Asher sat idly at the seashore. The city of Meroz and all its inhabitants were crushed by God for not going out to help in the battle. What should they have done to avoid it? Well, they had the prophetic word of the prophetess they all went to for judgments from God. They were all told what to do. They should have played the role that God laid out in his plan by faith. Well, ultimately, the battle ensued. And evil Sisera with his soldiers and chariots went out to meet the Israelites in battle at the Kishon River. And Deborah, she continued to play a part, though she should have been done already. Barak had already got his orders from God. But now, prophetically, Deborah took charge and she gave the command. And this is another cultural problem. The men were the ones to take charge and command in battle. In this case, Barak was called to be the commander. He was supposed to be the one. But remember, Barak pushed his will to have Deborah there. Now, Deborah commanded Barak. She told him, "Rise up." And she said, "Rise up, because this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands." She said, "The Lord has gone out before you." But Barak should have been the one to say this to his men in his role already. You know, and Deborah told Barak something else right then that is the key to the consequences he brought on himself. It's kind of confusing because she told Barak that the Lord had given Sisera into Barak's hands. But remember, Deborah said way back before that the honor shall not be Barak's on the journey that he was about to take, because the Lord will give Sisera into the hands of a woman. What this means is that God gave victory over the Canaanite army to Barak by faith, as the book of Hebrews tells us, and we see, but the honor of victory over the evil commander was going to be taken out of Barak's hand. And that honor was going to be given to a woman who followed the Lord. And so now you might be thinking, well, that woman is Deborah, right? No, she's not the woman. And I'm going to tell you what happened. 5:21 explains that when the day of battle was in play, a torrential rain came down from heaven and it helped the Israelites defeat the Canaanites. This is important for many reasons. Baal was the fake storm god the Canaanites prayed to in futility. Yahweh is the true God over everything. It was the Lord's work raining down a storm in rebuke of their fake storm god. God was working with his plans, which were playing out in the roles of his people. The heavy iron chariots of Canaan were useless in mud. It says the Lord routed Sisera and his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. Sisera, the commander of the Canaanite army, jumped out of his chariot and he ran off. And the whole Canaanite army was defeated. Every single one of the soldiers had been killed. Now, there were nomadic people who lived out in the direction evil Sisera was running. They were called Kenites, and they had a long connection to Israelites. They were the descendants of the brother-in-law of Moses. Generations earlier, Moses' brother-in-law, a worshiper of Yahweh, was persuaded to stay with the Israelites. And Moses told his brother-in-law, "Do not leave us. If you go with us, whatever good the Lord does for us, we will do for you." Well, the Kenites came from him. They were still connected at this time to Israel and God at this time that Sisera was running toward their settlement. And being nomadic, they lived in tents. Running scared Sisera, thought those Kenites were friendly allies because they were at peace with his king. But the Kenites were friends of the Israelites in a much stronger way, in the family and faith connection. And they had a role to play in God's plan by faith. Evidently, Sisera did not know this about him. When Sisera got there, a woman named Jael, the wife of Heber, went out and told Sisera to get in her tent. And evil Sisera went in thinking he found secret refuge with his friends. Jael covered him with a rug. And when Sisera asked her for a drink of water, she went the extra mile of honoring him. 5:25 says she gave him milk and yogurt and a fancy bowl fit for a king. So evil Sisera told Jael to watch out the door. He told her to tell any followers that nobody was there if they asked her. And being exhausted, Sisera fell asleep. But Jael was playing her role in God's plan by faith. She was not a prophet. She was not a warrior. She did not have the prophetic voice in her ears of Deborah directing her. Her daily role was that of a nomadic country wife. But she was about to take on another role in God's plan. It's a role which simply manifested another role of hers, that of being a godly, faithful woman who sought to serve the Lord. You always have the role of being a godly, faithful child of God who is to be seeking to serve your Lord in faith, to do what you need to do, which is do what you know to do. Well, Jael was about to do what she knew she needed to do in respect to the Israelites and Yahweh. Being nomadic, she was used to setting up tents. She knew how to plant the tent stakes into hard ground with a hammer. And now she was about to show friendship with pagan Canaan had its limits. And in faith, she aligned herself with God and Israel against them. It's all part of her role. Follow your role in faith. So Jael took a tent peg and a hammer in her hand. She snuck over to sleeping Sisera and she drove the peg into his head. She hammered down so hard, it literally went through his skull and into the ground. Well, this fulfilled the prophecy which had been unknown to her but was known to Barak, that Sisera was to fall at the hands of a woman. Barak had been on the heels of Sisera, and soon Barak arrived to see the prophecy's fulfillment. Jael took Barak to Sisera's body with the tent peg through his head. The honor of killing Sisera, which should have been Barak's, had become Jael's. 5:24 says that Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, was the most blessed of women. Well, that would mean that she was more blessed than Deborah, more blessed than all the other women of God in her day. The only other woman in the Bible who's called blessed among women is Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke 1:42. So Barak won the battle over Canaan by God's hand, but he lost the blessing he would have gotten if he had just gone out and done it without pushing his own agenda. And now he had to live with the cultural embarrassment pinned on him for the rest of his life of losing Sisera to Jael. But the thing about this is that Barak was not sad. Israel continued and ultimately defeated and destroyed the king of Canaan too. Barak was glad about all of that. He might have been embarrassed about the other thing, but he was glad and he even sang a song about it with Deborah, which covers chapter 5. We read that Barak even sang about Jael killing Sisera. See, Israel was blessed. The land was at peace again for 40 years. And so the lesson for you, lesson for me, lesson for all of us is to seek to manifest the life of Christ. It's your God-ordained role. It's what you're called to. Seek to play your role in God's plan by faith. Seek it in these coronavirus days. Seek it when all this drama is over. Seek it at all times. And recognize the spiritual war. It's always going on. But don't try to press your will into God's will. Be obedient and rely on Him. Manifest the life and love of Christ to everyone. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do ask for this blessing. We do ask that we seek to play your role in your plan by faith. We ask that in these days, we would manifest Christ Jesus to one another. We thank you for your protection. We pray for our country. We pray for our president. We pray for our church. Please continue to bring blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.